Pastor Mashai from Pakistan. Does anybody remember him? He's going to be coming back next week, and he's going to be speaking here at the church. Wow. So, yes, he's doing tremendous ministry work in Pakistan. His testimony is amazing. On the 23rd, so at the end of that service, I believe we sent motorcycles last year. 10 motorcycles? Are you right, Danny? We got to send 10 motorcycles for missions to him last year, and that's for pastors over in Pakistan. Wow, praise God. So they could do their ministry. 10 motorcycles. So we're going to take an offering just for him after the service next week. So prepare your hearts for that, what we're going to share for that. So it's going to be fantastic. So if you know anybody, we want to make it a big service again next week. He's from Pakistan, and he's doing miracle signs and wonders. Amen. And he's going to speak to us about miracle signs and wonders, and this is our season. Doris is going to be leaving us. Doris, I know, right? She's going to be moving to Fargo. I know. It's hard for us pastors to let go, Doris, so I'm not mad, but we will miss you. I'm going to read your letter, if that's okay, Doris. And then it says, "Dear Community Church family, greetings comes to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to inform you that the church family, that we will be moving to Fargo-Moorhead for school this fall. Our last day in Thief River Falls will be August 20th, 2017. But while I'm gone, my son Emmanuel T. Coffa will be living at my apartment because he's now working at DigiKey. Also, Webster, Precious, and her daughter will be living here too. Our families are here in TRF, so we will always be visiting this area. We would like to take this time to say a special thanks to all the pastors, deacons, deaconesses, and wonderful members for all your physical, spiritual support rendered to us for the past 10 years, especially to the Packard family, who have made us a part of their family. We appreciate everything. Remember, we are still brothers and sisters in Christ. We love you all, and we will miss the fellowship and the good things, but we will come back to visit the church and also attend some of the conferences. Just let us know ahead of time so we can make time for our busy schedule. I want to take this time to ask Community Church family to please help us move our big things Saturday, July 29th, and that's in 2 weeks. We will try to rent a car trailer, and we need a pickup truck to load it. Thanks again for all your support. May the Lord Almighty bless you all, and may the Lord meet all of your needs. Sincerely yours, Dora Coffa." Thank you, Doris. Wow, let's just give Doris a hand. Doris, you have been such a mother to the community in this church, Doris. It's been so powerful. I can't believe it's been 10 years, but it's just been such a move. And you know what? You're going to get your upgrade, Doris. This isn't a goodbye. This is an extension. And we will absolutely miss you. You've been such, I can't believe it's been 10 years. Time just goes so fast. And I'm just like, bless you. You've been a mother to so many in the community, and that we thank you so much. So if you guys can help out, let's get a hold of I don't know who's Danny. If we could Danny, you help organize some of that, and we'll make it great. So praise the Lord. Come on, you guys. Hallelujah. I just so thankful. We get to hear from a mother in the house. I just want to bless Sandy so much. Sandy and Jake have been a part of this community for so long, you guys, and the word of the Lord is speaking right now. There are things that are happening, and I just want us to listen intently, because I know we need to hear from the Lord. I know when I've gone through times of difficulties, Sandy has shared words that have really spoken to my life and really helped carry us through. And she is a mother. She takes things so seriously. She was a mother yesterday in this church, running around doing things, and we were working together. And you know when a mother's working in the house. And I really want to bless Sandy right now. And let's give her a hand, because she's a mother working in the house. Amen? And I so much appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right. Well, glory to God. Woo! That was a great day yesterday. I just want to bless the Toe and Lindy. It was an awesome wedding. And I just love the African traditions that were there yesterday, the special touches that their culture brought to the wedding. It was really, truly amazing. So, well, I'm excited to speak to you today, because God's been brewing in me. You know, we all go through seasons in life, right? Yeah. Okay, so I really believe this church is in a season, and a new season. And when you move out of one season to the next, there's really an atmosphere change, isn't there? Like in the, you know, we know that here in the Northland because when we have winter, we definitely know there's a culture change. There's an atmosphere change. When we have spring, wow, things come alive, and it's just amazing to see, you know, the trees and the flowers. I love to go to Mary's and sit in her yard and look at all her blooming flowers, and as things are just so gorgeous. And then you come to fall, and all the leaves fall off, and everything's wilted and dead, and, you know, it's just like, I hate that season, you know, in the spirit, you know, because you feel like you are in a famine. You feel like things are dry. You feel like things are lost, but they really aren't. God is doing something really, really amazing in that season of our life. And I just believe that God wants to speak to leaders today, to game changers. Because we've went through a season in this church that I call a famine. Now, a famine is lack, and it means the lack of whatever you need. What you think you need, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in finances, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in our church, whether it's in our city, whether it's in our nation, you know, you feel like, oh, it's just such a lack, you know? But in that season, God is doing something to shift our mindsets, to shift our mind into rethinking famine, to rethink what God is doing in that season of our life. And that's what he's been doing in my life. And he brought me to a scripture in Kings. And it's just a really yucky scripture. Some scriptures just kind of go to you and you go, what is that in there for? You know, because it's like the thinking that was going on during that time just challenges you and you think, I'll never think that way. And then you realize, oh, God's speaking to me about those changes. And sometimes I have those thoughts, and I'm living in the carnality, and I'm living in the mindset of a famine is horrible. Well, I want us to shift that today, and I want us to think that God has prepared us to be a game changer. And what is a game changer? A game changer is one that rises above the circumstances to convert challenges of impossibility to possibilities. Wow. That's a game changer. Now, I don't know your struggle, but I know mine. And I know I have some impossible situations in my life. But if I'm a game changer in the famine or the lack, I'm going to see how I can make a difference. Because a game changer changes the circumstances and the situation. A game changer will make something happen, but it causes you to move. You have to arise up out of your famine. You have to arise up out of your carnal thinking about how things were going. You have to rise up above that. And the story I'm going to tell you today, and what I'm going to read, is it's going to shift your thinking about you being a game changer in whatever circumstances or situation you're going through right now. Okay, so the title of my sermon is Fix Your Famine. Let's have faith to fix our famine. Amen? Because without faith, can we please God? So he's causing us to shift our thinking. So the purpose of a famine is to expose your identity as a game changer. 2, to expand your partnership with God. 3, to expedite your delivery from lack. To bring deliverance to a poverty mindset. And 5, to expose your poverty of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Pastor Jake has been preaching about being mature Christians, coming out of teenage life where everything's about them. And, you know, I mean, I have 9 grandchildren, and I love every stage that they've went through. But we're mature Christians in this room, and I'm speaking to leaders, game changers. And how many know that our world, our city, our families, our situations need change. So you're the game changer. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm the game changer. Turn to the one on the other side and say, I'm a game changer. I'm a history maker. Okay. Lord, keep me on track. Okay, let's turn to 2 Kings. And I'm going to 2 Kings 6. I think it starts 24. And I guess I could read the whole thing, or can I just go through it and tell you about it? What do you want? You want me to read it or tell me about it? Okay. Well, it starts out in this country of Samaria, and it says here that a great famine is in Samaria. So what had happened is that the king of Syria had come in and sieged Samaria. So what that means is they surrounded you and they held you captive in this region. And what that the intention of that is they starve you. There's no out. You have to stay within this boundaries. Well, what it does is it creates a famine. And so here's what happened. This is where they are. And indeed, the besieged, all there was to eat was donkey's heads and dove's dung. And it was really costly. Now, I don't know about you. I've eaten a lot of things. But I don't think I've eaten donkey brains, donkey heads, and dove's dung. Now, I say that when you look these up, in the scripture, you know what donkey head means? Think about it. What's a donkey? Stubborn? Pig-headed? Okay, they're stubborn. So donkey's heads really means carnality. It means you're thinking out of a carnal state. You're not thinking spiritual. You're not thinking miracles, you're not thinking in those realms. You are looking at what you can do in the natural, and how many know we can't. Dunk, that. So God's going to shift our donkey head eating. You know what dove's dung means? Where the Holy Spirit used to be. That's where the aftermath is. Who likes that? Are we living in our new day? Or are we eating off of donkey heads and dove's dung? I love the experiences that I've had over the years of 40 years of being a Christian. But I tell you, I need a new day. I need a fresh, anointed word from God today for my family, for my city, for my marriage, for my finances. I mean, think about how things have changed about finances in the last 10 years. Do you know that little Jaylin, you know, you dream, what are you going to be when you grow up? Do you know that what she is going to dream about isn't even a job now? That job doesn't exist. You know, some of them, of course, you know, like nursing and doctorate. But a lot of the jobs that are going to be available for Jaylin when she grows up don't even exist. So how many know we need a fresh anointing of what we need to do and how to prepare our families, how to prepare ourselves for what's going on in this generation? A new day, our new season. It says, behold, all things become new. We have to have a fresh mindset or we will live in the donkey head and the dove's dung. Now, the story even gets worse. Can you imagine getting worse? That's pretty bad. Then it says that there was two women, and they decided since there was nothing to eat, they were gonna kill and cook their kids. That's in the story right here. Now, imagine. I'm a mother. I think I would rather die than do that. But that is where poverty mindset, famine mindsets get you to do crazy things. Crazy things. So we cannot live in that famine, lack. You know, we have to live in the miracle-working power of God, and that He is working in this famine to bring provision, to bring possibilities. But you're the one that's going to bring it. So, this woman, they eat the first son. Then they're going to eat the next son the next day. But this woman has a change of thought. So she hides her son. Well, she goes to the king. Now, the king has his royal robe on. He has sackcloth and ashes underneath his royal robe. She goes and she pleads her case. Please, king, this is really, really bad. I don't want this to happen. What are we going to do? And the king, in his royal gown and royal wisdom, says, if your God isn't going to answer you, what can I do about this situation? See, if we look for provision from the government, from anyone around us, that's not where it's at. Our provision is from God. Amen. But she pleaded. And this king does some really weird stuff. I mean, then what he starts to do is he blames God. Oh, yeah, it's the prophet. It's Prophet Elijah. I think you should go kill Prophet Elijah because he prophesied that things are going to be okay. Look at it. It's not okay. Let's go kill the prophet. So now you can start eating and devouring each other in the famine. You can start biting and devouring your family, your kids, your community, your nation. You know? Do we want to do that? I don't want to do that. So what happens? What happens when we start to say, oh, it's so-and-so's fault? It's so-and-so's fault. And let's just go somewhere else because they don't have any answers. They're just, you know. So we can start to blame people. And okay, so that's the scenario of what was going on. So now what's going to happen? What is going to happen here now? And I'm asking you in your state, in your famine, what's going to happen now? Because with the story I'm going to tell you next, in chapter 7, you're going to have no excuse not to move in your famine. Because God uses game changers, leaders, to rise up that have a heart after God that are going to change the circumstance. Chapter 7. I'm going to continue to tell the story instead of read it. Okay. Guess where help comes from? Yeah. Guess where? Of course, it's from the Lord, but remember, you're the game changer. Yeah. God is speaking. Okay. So it says in chapter 7. Well, first of all, I want to say about the royal robe. See, the king, he didn't want to, and I want to talk to game changers now. Okay, if you got your royal robe on, oh, I'm the pastor of the church. I got my royal robe on. I have all the answers. And I have my sackcloth under here. Sackcloth is intercession for what's going on, to get answers from God. So I don't care what position you have, it doesn't qualify you. You know what? That's pride. And in there, God wanted to take pride out. So if any of us have any pride, I've had pride in my life, let's get rid of it. Let's get to the internal things of that is sackcloth and ashes. That is really where the people are at. That is feeling the famine. that is feeling the heart of the people, feeling the situation and having an answer. That's sackcloth and ashes. Okay, so now it goes on to here in chapter 7. Then, let's see, chapter 7. Oh my gosh, it's just so amazing. So amazing. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow at this time, there will be flour. Now he starts prophesying. Now it's time to listen to your directions, because God is going to give a game changer a prophetic word. He's going to give you a prophetic word that's going to seem so crazy, because let's remember there's a famine here and they're eating this other stuff, but now the prophet comes and says, hey, tomorrow at this time, there will be flour sold. There will be supply in Samaria at the city gate. Come on. Tomorrow, your situation will change if you hear the prophetic word over your life and you act on it. So now, here God is sending the answer. Game changers, tomorrow you're going to be the one that brings the answer. Guess who they were? Tom, do you know who were they for? There were four leopards. Lepers. Do you know what leprosy is? You have sores all over your body. You're cast out of the city. You're rejected. You live in shame. You live in poverty. You have nothing. You've been out there for years. I've felt like that for times. Rejected. Live in shame. Don't have anything. I felt like that. Full of shame of my past. Shame of things I've done. But these leopards decided, just like, okay, they sat there and they started having a holy conversation. What I call a holy conversation. They started thinking about, well, if I stay here at the city gate, I'm going to die. If I go to the city where I've been rejected and I'm not supposed to be, I'm going to die. So why don't we go to the enemy's camp? And why don't we wage war on the enemy? Four lepers. So they decided, after having their holy conversation, that they're going to get up, arise to their circumstances and situation, and they're going to go and they're going to solve this problem. Well, you know what happens? They get to the city, they go to the enemy's camp, and guess what? God had already sent all this chaos and all this stuff, and the enemy army said, oh my gosh, we have to get out of here. God's on the move. That's what will happen to your enemies. When you move into the city camp, your enemies are already scattered. They're already gone. What is left in the camp? Spoil. So they go in one tent, they start eating the spoil. Can you imagine how good that felt? After being out in the, you know, I'm sure it had provisions for their physical, their everything. I'm sure everything in this enemy's camp was like, because the enemy likes to steal, and he steals good stuff. So it's in the camp. So they go back there in the camp, and they go to the second tent, the third tent, and they're just living it up, man. But then they have a thought, and this is what game changers do. I'm going to read it again. They rise above their circumstances to the challenges of impossibilities to possible, and they make things happen, not only for themselves, not only for yourself, but for who? Others. So what do these lepers do? They go back, and they say, we're going to the city gate, and we're going to tell them there's food and provision here. And they went back to the city of Samaria, and they said, come on, let's take this spoil together. Let's have all the provisions that you need. They could have kept it themselves, but it's not for us. It's for everyone. There's enough for everyone. So they do this, and the people that are in famine run. When they hear that there's provisions at the city gate, they ran to the city gate. And they, now the king, remember who said, this will never happen? Even if God opens heaven, this will never happen. And Elijah said, you will not eat of that fruit because you didn't believe. And he's standing at the city gate, and guess who's coming? All the desperate ones that are hungry. And what do? They trample on him, and he's dead. He's dead. But all the people have all the provision that they need. All it took was four leopards to take courage. All it took for Joshua and Caleb to possess the land, God said, go and be courageous. And God is speaking to you today to go and be courageous. Courage sees possibilities. It creates options in advance. Courage creates out-of-the-box thinking. Courage sees opportunities instead of what is up against them. Courage looks at the facts, but knows that God is a greater supplier. The leopards looked at their situation. If we die, we die. Now, in the Bible, game changer was Esther. There was a famine of justice, and he raised up an orphan girl. No excuses. If you have four leopards, could change a city. If an orphan girl could change a nation. If David, a little boy, could become a king. If the widow that had nothing and had a little cake and a little water gave to Elijah because she was courageous to give her last meal to the word of the Lord. God is calling this church, he's calling you. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. If his presence does not go with us, I don't want to go. David said that, if your presence doesn't go, I'm not moving. Right? We have to hear the word of the Lord. And God is speaking. And he's creating us to be game changers. So whatever excuse you have in your mind that you think that you are disqualified, I just want to say, get rid of that mindset. If he can use a leopard, if he can use an orphan girl, if he can use a widow, if he can use David, a little boy, he certainly can use every single one of us in this room. Hallelujah. God has provision for every situation we have. So I just want you to close your eyes for a few minutes. I want you to think of where you think your famine is, where you feel your lack is, because I know where mine is. And I just want us to arise to the challenge of saying, God, we'll go where you go, you tell us to go, we'll do what you tell us to do, and we will be game changers. We'll be game changers in our marriage, in our family, in our community, in our city, in our region, in our nations. God, I thank you that in this church there are game changers that are ready, mature, full of the fruits of the Spirit to move. As hard as the situation might be, that they are going to move forward. Tomorrow morning, it said tomorrow morning, their breakthrough came. So I just decree and declare over this congregation the breakthrough that they need, that as a prophetic word from Jeff this morning came, your miracle is on the way. It's here. It's here. Your upgrade is here. Hallelujah. The answer to everything is here. Lord, I pray that we would be courageous. I pray we would move in courage like we've never moved before. And I just bless you today, and I thank you, Lord, that as the songs we sang this morning in worship to you, you're a good, good Father. You're a good, good, good. And it's a happy day. It's a happy day. And so now I just release the blessings of God upon this congregation, upon every family. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving us forward. And now I just release them into your hands, Lord. I pray that their eyes would be open, their ears would be attentive, that their heart would be just so soft, that they would be obedient to everything that you've asked them to do. Lord, we thank you for your precious word of God that speaks to us in every situation and circumstance and gives us hope of the change that is going to happen. Because, Lord, you know how weary we are. But, Lord, you know how the strength of God comes in when we have the joy of the Lord. So thank you that you're going to give them an abundance of joy this next week in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Oh. If you're feeling kind of like me, and sometimes when you hear, I'm just like, Lord, I don't know if I feel like I can do that. You know? We need to encourage each other right now. Sandy, I thank you so much. Because I know there's been times in your life where you've thought maybe I couldn't do that. But look at you now, and you're ministering to us. As Sandy was just sharing there, I don't know if you feel like you're a leopard or whatever, and you have zero worth, and he's like, man, I'm on my last strand. I feel like I'm on my last strand. How could this be? But man, what God can do, and that's where the word of the Lord comes so much in, that we would hang on to his promises, what he spoke. You know, for me, some of my battle is just, even with this camp, guys, you know, God's called us to be a training center, and he's called us to that. And there's such a pull, and it feels like it's so dry that the last thing you want to do right now is go out and spend time. I got money. I got to raise money. But if we're in the season of famine, and all we're eating is donkey heads and the old anointing from back in the day, the only way we get the new stuff is by stepping out and trusting God. That is the only way, you guys, that we get our upgrade. That is the only way. And it's happened before. And what blows my mind is I've seen it happen before. And now guess what? We get to do it again. And now guess what, Tom? You get to do it again. And now guess what, Tom? You get to do it again. And he keeps speaking to me. And now I'm starting to laugh because I'm like, okay, I know, God. You're trying to show me something. That I told you to step out here and you did it. And I met you there and it happened. And now I want you to do it again, Dave. And you did it here, Tom. And now I want you to do it again. It's right at the door. It's right there for the taking. But I know you got to step up, and I know you got to step up, and there's that feeling inside when God speaks, and then you make that choice, and you say, okay, God, I'm going to go. And I think the longer you say no, the harder it is to say yes. And I just want to repent, God, because there's been times you just say no, and I say, that's not me. I'm a leopard. I'm no good. I can't do this. And it's gotten to the very point where we're at the very last strands of our life. And I just feel it. Let's just stand up this morning. I want to encourage you so much that today is your day. As Sandy was just speaking, one day's time, everything changed. One day's time, everything changed. Father God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. One day's time, everything changed. God, you have not relented. One word that was spoken has not come back void. Lord, it will accomplish, Lord God. Help us jump upon that word that you have spoken in our lives, Father God. And let us stop with the donkeyness and our stubbornness. Let us cast that aside. Let us no longer look what happened in yesterday's or what happened back then and that. Lord, let's look to the new and let's raise our hands up and say, yes, Lord, today is the day that I learn to let go and I step out in faith. and I'm going to go over that mountain and down that valley, and I'm going to seize my inheritance, Father God, because you have spoken it to community. You have spoken it in my life. You have spoken it to the Northwest Minnesota. You have spoken it, Father God. And I pray right now the restoration of the prophetic in the house of God, in every house of God, everything that is spoken, everything that has tried to rob every word that has been spoken to your life, Lord, that you would restore every single one, Lord God, and bring to remembrance. And we pray for the voices, hallelujah, of the prophet to be released upon our lives, Lord God, that we would not relent, that we would not let go, that we would not turn aside, Father God, but that we would embrace this day, Father God, for you have overcome. You have overcome every battle, Lord Jesus, and today is our day where we step out in faith and we let go of all the old, and we stop it even to the ends of where our own children, where lives were at stake, God, that we would rise up and we say, no, today is the day we will rise up for our generation. We will rise up for ourselves, because it's a battle cry. It's a battle for the next, Lord. And we will not relent, Lord. God, that is such a powerful word. Thank you, Sandy, so much. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. You are moving mightily in your people, and you're sending a powerful faith message, Lord. And I pray you increase our faith. We thank you, Lord Jesus. If you want prayer, if that's you right now and you're just not sure and about that, we're going to be here and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray encouraging faith. Prophetically, Jeff, I want you to speak. Jen, my wife, I want everybody with kids right now or youth. If you know kids, we're going to get every single name. We have to get that done now. We're game changers. And it's happening in 2 weeks. If you feel it in your spirit, now is the time to rise up. If you feel you need to be a part of that and there's a hesitation, I would say enough with the hesitation, because I know that the promises of heaven are connected to your obedience. And we have to stop fighting against it, and we need to let it go. Come on. We have to stop fighting against it. If the Spirit of God is moving on your heart right now, and you know whether it's giving or your place, Lord, you've called you in children's ministry or youth or whatever area that is, our victory, our past, our stubbornness is stepping out in obedience, saying, okay. And it starts with a step. It starts with a few steps. And it starts with the next step. So I want to encourage you this morning. God bless every single one of you. Jen, if you want to go to the back and catch everybody before they run out, that'd be awesome. God bless you guys. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. He did a fantastic job this morning. Sandy, thank you. Bless you guys. Hallelujah.